The James Mitsubishi Sportzilla Show podcast is available on ESPNSyracuse.com and ESPNUR.com.
Oh, word?
Plus iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, TuneIn, and SoundCloud. Or find it at ESPN Sportzilla on Facebook and Twitter.
That sucks. It's all just weird sports fans, hooligans.
It's the Sportzilla Show with Rain and Matt on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk and ESPN Radio.
Yeah, you might get a little bit more of the fan perspective from three hooligans. First hooligan, me, Rain, waving to the Twitch cameras, Q Sports Talk. Hello. You'll see a really nice worn-out Yankees hat. Spencer Davidson wearing a Seattle Kraken t-shirt. Hold on. Pause for 30 seconds. Must get the story behind that amazing shirt.
Yeah, I was in the... Oh, I'm sorry. You wanted me to wait for the story?
Just pause.
Okay, pause. I'm paused.
Coming right back to you, just going around the room. The glue guy, Matt Page, on the ones and twos today. All of us are using spider tack so we can get a better grip on things. This is a crazy, crazy situation for MLB. They have an amazing ability to screw everything up. We'll talk about that in a few minutes because I'm not going right down that road right away. I need to hear about this shirt.
Can I unpause now?
Yes.
Okay. In September, one of my best friends from high school was getting married, and I was in the wedding party, and he lives in Olympia, Washington. Sort, you know.
Grab the microphone.
Yeah.
And stand up while you tell the story.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, this is very ergonomically sound. I like it.
Make a little noise in the background.
That's all right.
Even the shorts.
My posture's not great. I apologize, guys.
The color blue of the shorts. I'm showing this to the Twitch cameras.
Oh, yeah. I know. I went full. I went matching outfit here today.
And then the solid navy blue throughout. Like this. You did good, Spencer.
Thank you.
Do you do this on your own? Are you able to match on your own?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I initially had a regular pair of khaki, you know, like tannish shorts, your standard everyday khaki shorts. And I was like, you know what? It's got to be color coordinated today. We got to get this going.
All right. So you can sit back down. Wait a minute. Is the first Twitch poll of the day going to be how many of us out there get assistance in matching our clothes? And then how many guys out there that might be listening are able to do what Spencer did and match perfectly?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a fashionista. I can match colors, but it doesn't mean that the outfit looks good.
When you have a dad, I have a dad bod, so I don't make anything look good.
Well, yeah, me too. But
so you're in Seattle, you're at your friend's wedding, and you get the shirt.
Yeah. So I took the flight out of Seattle, and I guess it was like a little bit of oh my God, I'm blanking on the. Groomsman, thank you. Yeah,
he didn't expect the question.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
No, groomsman. It was a little bit of a groomsman gift. I mean, my friend knows how much I'm into hockey, and obviously the Seattle Kraken are starting up next year, and he's in the greater Seattle area. So, here we go. I add another sports tee to my arsenal.
Is there a better logo in sports?
No, I was about to say.
Incredible.
That might be.
It's just they did such a great job with it.
The coolest logo in sports. It's the best shirt in the room today, and I'm wearing a Yankee shirt, and I'll say that because that logo is amazing. Spencer is S. Davidson, WKTV on Twitter, and he has retweeted something that will be, you're killing me, Smalls. You're bringing that content to the table today at 2:45. Accelerate Sports Complex phone line will include, we went with 5 phone guests yesterday, 2 today. Jason Fitz is going to make good a little makeup with him from Tuesday. And Jim Jackson, who was the original voice of the Utica Devils from 87 to 93, and then went on, 25, 26 years with the Philadelphia Flyers. So if you're a Flyers fan, and then, of course, you got the Phillies. He was there in 2009 and 2008 when the Phillies won a World Series, and then when the Yankees beat the Phillies to win the World Series. So we're expecting some great stories there. Oh, and it's National Mascot Day today, so let's just stop right there. Listen, you've got Crunch Man. You've got Audi for the Comets. You've got Otto the Orange. There's some great mascots out there. Remember Salty Pete in the AHL with Maine? Remember
when
I think it was Maine was a team or Portland or whatever it was. They became, I'm trying to think. They ended up becoming the Flyer or the Panthers affiliate, but then the Panthers joined with the Crunch this year. So it's just really weird what's going on.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about this. You got Jim Jackson right in Philadelphia. You've got like arguably two of the best ever. Gritty's phenomenal with the Flyers and then the Philly Fanatic. I mean, don't forget about the San Diego Chicken, right? That's where DePauly Scabilla.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's another great one.
That is fantastic.
Waka waka. Hey, I love the San Diego Chicken. That's my favorite one. Waka waka waka. Hey. What would he say after that?
He loves his My Buddy Doll as well.
His My Buddy Doll. But I love mascots. Today's National Mascot Day. Do you have a favorite mascot? Is that the second Twitch poll? We got two already. Let's get them up there.
Those are there are a lot of great mascots out there. I mean, you obviously got, you know, your standard Otto the Orange, Mr. Met. But there's minor league teams, because some minor league teams have such obscure names. You know, minor league baseball teams, their mascots are pretty incredible. Tuck's from the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Penguins in the AHL. He has moves like Jagger, man. It's incredible.
I should have thought to look this up, but this is no joke. This was actually the Yankees had a mascot at one point officially, and it's this hideous, ugly thing, and it didn't last very long. But I'm actually going to do this. One more reason to get a subscription or to join us on Twitch at Q Sports Talk. But I don't know if you picked that up. Tell me when the delay catches up with
okay,
that.
Okay, will do.
Blue guy, as you're monitoring Twitch, because my monitor is going over there. But that is actually what it looked like. Do you see that, Spencer?
It's a bit bright.
Yeah.
It's a bit bright on the camera.
You got to zoom in.
It looks like this big, bulbous Yosemite Sam-looking thing with like a Yankees shirt on. I mean, it's just ugly. That's not one of the better ones.
No. Well, you know, you can see why it didn't last.
Let's see. All but three teams in Major League Baseball officially have mascots. The Dodgers, Yankees, and the Angels are the ones that don't. Kansas City Royals have Slugger. There's the San Diego Chicken, the Philly Fanatic, Mr. Matt, the Oreo Bird, and Slider with the Cleveland Indians.
You know, how come the New York Rangers don't have a mascot? I feel like there's some things you can do with that. I mean, you could either go the route. Remember, there were the Central Park Rangers in the movie Elf?
Yeah,
you could do that. I mean, literally, the Rangers are named the Rangers because their owner, Tex Ricard, they used to call them Texas Rangers.
And that's why
they're called the Rangers. So you can have like a Texas Rangers kind of thing in a New York Rangers jersey. That'd be great.
They're missing something there. They screwed up. That was a fumble.
Yep.
The mascots I just listed for you, by the way, they're all in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Mascots are a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. It's mascot day. What's your favorite one of all time?
The Yankees one you were just referring to. His name is Dandy.
Yes.
Dandy?
Yeah. It's terrible.
It looks like Yosemite Sam.
See, I was telling you.
Yeah.
A bulbous Yosemite Sam. It's got this like big, bushy, like mustache-y looking thing. It's not really a goatee. It's not really a beard. It's not really a mustache.
Oh, yeah.
It's hideous.
He looks like there's like some like really dopey character. He looks like it's
well,
that narrows it down.
Yeah, no, I know that. Yeah, that narrows it. I'll take that personally.
What are you trying to say? He looks like me.
Yeah, he looks. Oh, he's got hair.
Spencer Davidson is with us in studio. We're hyped about that. Tuesdays and Thursdays is going to be for the next month and change. Eventually, it'll be every single day. Good to have you back in here as we get things started. ESPN Radio and the Sportszilla Show.
Unless we scare him off beforehand,
We might do that. First official segment of the day is called "Does It Matter?" Matt's going to moderate and ask us both some questions. Direct them to whoever you want, and we'll come hot.
Let's do it.
Does it matter? It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Does it matter?
Does it matter that Mike Ford was traded from the Yankees to the Tampa Bay Rays?
In division.
Why?
Chris Gittens, hard-hitting Chris Gittens. You're going to see Luke Voit return soon. You could always see DJ LeMahieu. I think it became a Talkman situation where the dude was out of options. There wasn't much production. He's not a great fielder. There wasn't much production. Yes, a left-handed bat and a lineup that is limited. However, the trade deadline is approaching. I don't think that the Yankees are going to be sellers. I wonder if these last two wins against Toronto, you know, it depends. They lose two to Philly, and we got to blow this team up. They win two against Toronto, and suddenly everybody's all right with the team again. Mike Ford is not a make-or-break player for this team by any means, by any stretch. Yes, it's odd that he went to the division, but you know, at the very least, when he plays against the Yankees, we've all come to this consensus. He's going to probably be Babe Ruth and hit a lot of home runs and do damage, and they're going to regret that in one key game that's going to screw over their entire season somehow. But I'm not being negative about this. Is it a big deal to me that they traded Mike Ford? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it is a big deal, and maybe not so much for what the Yankees are going to be missing from him, but more so from the standpoint of what they're going to have to face now. You know, the fact that they're going to have to face him, and you know it's just going to be one of those things where, you know, he becomes Babe Ruth against the Yankees, and he's going to
suck everywhere else.
Yeah, he's going to be a factor when the Yankees play him. And so for that direct reason, yeah, it matters. You trade someone in the division, it's going to bite you in the butt.
Well, it matters for two different reasons then. To answer your question, Glue Guy, what's the next one?
Does it matter that Gerrit Cole threw a 95 mile per hour, not a fastball, but a changeup?
You know, and he did it without the sticky stuff, and he had some,
allegedly,
he had some things to say about it last night in the postgame press conference. We'll talk about that in a little while, but I'll tell you why it matters that he threw a 95 mile an hour changeup. After the game in the press conference, you might have caught his remarks with Lindsay Adler, which we were all laughing about a little bit earlier, where she was like, how? You generally want to take 10 to 12 miles an hour off of your fastball with your changeup, but throw it so the motion looks identical, and hence that is how you fool the batter. But who the hell throws a 95 mile an hour changeup?
Gerrit Cole.
When you're hitting 101, and it actually, I think it was Kevin Biggio he threw it to. Yeah. And he made him look stupid. Did you see them nod at each other?
Yes, yeah.
Where like Kevin was like, dude, all right, man.
Was it Kevin or was it Bo Bichette? I think it might have been Bo Bichette. Was it Kevin?
I thought it was Kevin Biggio.
Maybe.
Regardless, there was a nod.
Okay, yeah. And then Gerrit nodded back because he's like, hey, you fouled it off. You got a piece.
You got a good swing off on that.
Yeah.
I'm not throwing it again. Yeah, that was a one-time only thing. But that's why it mattered to me. Did it matter to you for any other reasons?
Yeah, I mean, I think I top off at 55 miles per hour for my fastball. So, I mean,
your changeup's about 25.
Yeah. But you know what? It's a big change in speed, so it does fool people. But yeah, I just think that the fact that the guy throws his changeup at 95 miles per hour, That's just wild.
Especially that late in the game
as well.
It's
just wild.
I'm going to throw a does it matter question back at Matt, the person who usually asks the questions, because we also host Yankees on Deck.
Back tonight.
6 o'clock, unless we have the axe delay, then it's about 6:04. But you were big on this last night with Gary Sanchez. You know, he comes into the game. You heard what Gerrit Cole heaping praise on him afterwards. He gets that pinch hit home run. He actually blocked a couple of pitches from Chapman in the dirt.
Yep.
It looked pretty good. He is red hot at the plate. And suddenly you go, maybe he catches a game for Gerrit Cole and it's not Kyle Higashioka. Did they work a little something out? I mean, ultimately, Gerrit threw 8 innings. A portion of that was to the Kraken. And those 3 innings you were in the game was the game changer. It made the difference. Gary Sanchez basically won that game for them last night, right?
Yep.
I think he was...
And only played for about 2.5 innings.
So does all that matter?
Yeah, it matters to exactly what I've been talking about. We need to see him in the game more often, especially when Cole's on the mound. I feel like last year, the Yankees had to make a move with Higashioka, making him the personal catcher for Gerrit Cole because Sanchez was so terrible on defense as well as at the bat. And now this year, we're seeing a different Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, we've spent so much time talking about Gary Sanchez's struggles, but you're seeing once again, when Gary Sanchez is on, Gary Sanchez is the most valuable offensive catcher in the game. Mm-hmm. Gary Sanchez is the best catcher in the game. Now, granted, his defense still needs work, but as you alluded to, Rain, it's improved this year. He had a couple of nice blocks last night, but you can't afford to have Gary Sanchez out of the lineup when he's performing the way he is. You just can't do it. If you're Aaron Boone, you need to find a way to slide this guy in every single day. If Higashioka is catching Gerrit Cole, Gary Sanchez needs to be the DH.
Aaron Boone came in with well, it just works out because you can't catch him every day. You got to pick that one game every week where you give him a break behind the plate and you get Higgy in there and it just so happens. No, it's intentional. They just won't blatantly admit that he's the personal catcher. But if Gary is hitting like this, you can't.
Right.
You got to put him in there.
I'm totally fine with Higashioka being the quote-unquote personal catcher for Gerrit Cole. whatever makes Gerrit Cole the most comfortable so Gerrit Cole can be Gerrit
Cole.
But
not when Gary's in a hot streak like this.
Right, but I'm just saying, so in that situation, if they are going to make that, if they are going to make that move and have Higashioka every fifth day catch Gerrit Cole, you need to, Gary Sanchez needs to be in the DH. He needs to be in the lineup.
And then there's Stan's rest day as well.
Then you're going to have to, that's going to have to coincide with Stan, exactly, yeah. Because he needs load management, doesn't he?
Right. Yeah.
So does Aaron Judge every once in a while. I think they're gonna sit him, especially as you get deeper and deeper into the season. So far, it's been, you know, fingers crossed, well, knock on wood, he's been relatively healthy. Okay, I think we've explained to you why it matters. Boy, you got about five more questions there. You're not going to be able to ask.
We can ask them during Twitch.
We'll ask Twitch, Q Sports Talk. We'll go right there. Quick break. We come back. We get to our kerfuffle. What's the sports beef? We find out next on ESPN Radio. There's a couple.
Who's got Twitter beef?
Hey, here's an idea. Why don't you mind your own business?
Bulletin board material.
Oh, you can't say that, but it got said.
We've got another Donnybrook.
That is not appropriate behavior, okay?
An athletic brouhaha.
You're a meanie.
Let's go toe-to-toe. It's the Sportszilla Kerfuffle.
A classic conundrum.
On twitch.tv/QSportsTalk and ESPN Radio.
Dave Petromella, 3 p.m. with Q Sports Talk on twitch.tv. You will get the press conference. We will remain on the radio. Twitch will go to air that and then come back to us. So obviously with it happening in the middle of the Sportszilla show, we will try to keep an eye on what is said and not said and cover that. Of course, we will get back and rehash that tomorrow for sure in full after we digest it. That being said, it's time for the kerfuffle. Did you know Shelby Houlihan has one with the Olympic Committee?
No.
This is not one that you guys were expecting. I kept this one. I just wanted to see how you react to this. We're going to cover a couple of sports beefs, if you will. LeBron and the injuries. He's whining about it like he was whining about the play-in tournament. I don't know what's happened with LeBron for the past 3 months, but we're starting to dislike him.
He's a movie star, and all the fame's getting to his head.
You hated him with the decision, and then, of course, everybody fell back in love with him, and now everybody's getting annoyed with him again.
Yep.
That, the Sportszilla Open, and we'll get to the kerfuffle between Major League Baseball pitchers and Rob Manfred and the Major League Baseball offices and what they're doing with the sticky stuff and the suspensions. But Shelby Houlihan was an Olympic hopeful, and she had a failed drug test, so she will not be able to participate in Tokyo this summer. She's a track and field star, in case you didn't know, has American records for the 1500 and the 5000 meters. And do you want to know why she got a 4-year ban after testing positive for an anabolic steroid? You know what she blamed for it?
Bob Baffert.
A tainted pork burrito.
Oh, what? Man.
She blamed the burrito.
Always blame the food. That's a great idea.
Where was the burrito from? Moe's or Chipotle?
She does not specify. She claims she ate it 10 hours before her drug test. It was made with something from a Mexican food truck. And she claims that nandrolone, which was the steroid that was found, was in the pork that was in the burrito. She didn't actually ingest it because she's never heard of it. So that's what she's claiming.
Interesting. Well, you know, that's why whenever I, you know, buy any meat from the store, you know, I always make sure it's steroid free. I don't want to run into that problem. You know, these Purdue chickens were produced without any steroids, any preservatives.
Well, are you getting drug tested at WKTV?
For steroids? No.
I'm clearly on performance enhancers with my athletic build.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I'm like such a low energy human being. I feel like I don't think anybody could suggest that I'm on any type of performance enhancers for anything.
Spencer, the Sportszilla Open happened and Mark Larson of Spectrum Sports shot an 83 and he won this. Mario Sacco shot a 91 and he has now put pizza and wings on the line as a bet if we go to another round of the golf match in the Sportszilla Open, and we bring the ladies in. I think that they
Alex
win.
Alex Sims and Kate Calloway.
Yeah, well, he said 7 strokes, right? Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, that he would not lose to the ladies.
Even if you gave them 7 strokes.
And I feel bad for Mark Larson because he's like, whoa, I don't agree to that kind of thing.
So pizza and wings is up for grabs. Should the bet be something a little more than that, or is that a fair, friendly wager on this? And who do you think ultimately wins this?
I think the bet has to be a little bit more high stakes. I think they'd have to, like go on the air like wearing ballerina suits or something. They have to do something to really embarrass, like impractical jokers type of embarrassments.
I mean, it wouldn't be that embarrassing for the ladies.
No, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be embarrassing for the ladies. Well, I don't think. But to that being said, I don't think the ladies are going to lose. So I'm only looking at it from the standpoint that the men are going to have to do something embarrassing on the air, because I mean, we all saw Alex Sims swing.
Yeah,
Kate Calloway is a gamer. She's gonna show up. She's gonna come to play. And it's just going to be, they're going to wipe the floor with them.
Oh, I mean, if you're not on Twitter, by the way, it's been very fun to read along with this over the past few days. It doesn't seem to stop. Let's switch over to the NBA. LeBron is, the play-in tournament's a great idea until he had to play in it. And then we all heard what he said. And now there's, what, 9 All-Stars in the playoffs that are not playing due to injury? Is that the number that was thrown out?
Yeah, there's at least 9 All-Stars who have missed at least one game throughout these playoffs, which is an NBA history record.
Yeah, and that's part of the tweet storm, a few tweets that LeBron had put out. They don't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players. It ultimately is the product and benefit of our game. These injuries isn't just part of the game. It's the lack of pure rim rest before starting back up. You got all these All-Stars out. It's the best time of year for our league and our fans, but we're missing a ton of our favorite players. This is insane. Blah, blah, blah. He claims to be the one person that knows all about the body and how it responds and reacts. And he's just whining again and people are getting sick of it. And I've had enough.
Yeah.
I've had enough. It's strange circumstances, but whether it's the NBA or anything else, it's got to get back on track after a global pandemic.
Right.
Whether you like it or not, they've got to get it back in line somehow. This is the only way that they can do it. Yeah, I think we all knew there was going to be more injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're seeing that in all sports with the bubble, it affected it. And the farther you get away from it, it will get back to normal, but it's going to take some time.
Yeah, I mean, this is essentially like a gap year between, you know, having seasons stopped and having to have bubble situations 3 months later to complete a season, to then having a longer, more consistent season. And then, yeah, next year it looks like things are going to be starting to return to normal. We've seen it in the MLB so far, and, you know, an April start. But the thing that really irked me about LeBron's tweet, and I've been, you know, a LeBron, not apologist, but, like, I've defended things he said sometimes because...
And I have too, but I'm getting sick of it lately. Yeah, go ahead.
He does so much good things off the court for the community.
He's still a phenomenal player.
And he's a phenomenal player. But that line about the one person that... If there's one person that know about the body and how it works all year round, it's me. Like, you don't have medical staffs and team doctors and, you know, constant medical care around your team facilities. You're the one that knows about the body.
LeBron.
Why? Because you've had multiple injuries, because you've pulled your hamstring. All of a sudden, you're an expert on anatomy. You're a doctor. Come on, man. Like, sometimes LeBron flies a little bit off the handle and is a little bit too much, I'm LeBron. He feeds into how much attention he gets.
Melodramatic, anyone?
Yes.
Anyone?
Very much so.
I mean, it's just, you just can't say something like that. I mean, it's.
He sounds like my 6-year-old son.
Right.
That's what he sounds like.
Right.
I'm mad about it. Yeah, and I don't care what you say.
And then to put the word me in caps, mm-hmm. like to emphasize that you're the only one. I mean, come on, LeBron.
That's a little narcissistic. Is a little?
Just
a little.
Come on, man.
But I will say, LeBron is semi-right, though, because the final four teams from the bubble year either didn't make the second round or win a single game in the second round of the playoffs.
It absolutely has an effect. It's not the message. To your point, you're right. It's not the message per se. It's how he's delivering it. But yesterday in the NBA, you had Kawhi Hart, you had CP3 in the COVID protocols. Talk about a snake bitten dude. Stan Van Gundy got fired. Now Kawhi's family and others within the Pelicans organization, I guess those exit interviews weren't good and they're all trash. And Stan Van on the way out. Why don't you players speak for yourselves instead of your families and things like that?
Right.
It was 1 year. Yeah, Stan Van Gundy's a little bit different in his coaching style.
Yes, he is.
Maybe they should have gone with Jeff Van Gundy.
I guess Zion Williamson is not a Stan Van Gundy stan, huh?
Hey, that's right. Scott Brooks is out. Scott Brooks is out in Washington. Donnie Nelson out as GM of the Mavs.
And Doncic isn't happy about that either.
Jokic passed on, that's right. Jokic passed on the Olympics. The Sixers choked a 26-point lead. Hey, LaMelo Ball won Rookie of the Year yesterday. This is all in the NBA yesterday. Just some of the highlights or some of the headlines within the league.
And this is a day after Kevin Durant put the Nets on his back.
Which ones are a big deal? And now you've got to wonder, can the Clippers win without Kawhi? I guess they can. Paul George stepped up. Can the Nets win without two of their big three, or at least one and a half of their big three? Because Harden isn't running much and Kawhi's out long term. I guess so. What happened to the Jazz? Did they miss a golden opportunity?
It looks like it.
I think that they did. Boy, we got one thing left on the kerfuffle, and that's to talk more about the foreign substances. But I guess we'll have to wait because we're up against a break. We'll pause right here real quick, get back with you in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. And then we want to go through the John Wildhack presser again. I've got some audio from it. A couple of his answers stood out to Spencer, myself, and Matt. And we want to break that down and a few other things next, including Boeheim's Army.
What are the odds? This is Odds Makers. It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
Since we got the State of the Union, in a sense, of Syracuse sports from Athletic Director John Wildhack the other day, and Spencer wasn't with us yesterday, and he's in here today, Blue Guy and I were like, we got to rehash this a little bit, at least a few of the key points from it. And I've got the audio. We'll play those comments and then maybe get a little bit of a reaction. And I'm wondering what stood out to you, Spencer. I know you were in here with us, but now it's settled in for a couple of days. We've gotten to think about it a little bit more. And you always have some different observations or maybe some subtlety of something he said that you didn't initially pick up on the initial press conference. Mm-hmm. And here it is. Now we can talk about it some more. Was it the name, image, likeness issue? Was it the revenue loss from no ACC or NCAA tournament for Syracuse? Was it all of the transfers on the women's team? It could have been something else. That's just me off the top of my head naming a few. Yeah. What stood out to you? Let me know what that is. I've got all of his answers. Yeah. We'll share that with everybody, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I think a couple of the things that did stand out to me were his addressing of the transfer portal and everything, and
with the women's
basketball, okay. But his support for Coach Q within that, the fact that he voiced his support of Coach Quentin Hillsman and his his value and what he brings to the table.
Want me to air it?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Hold that thought,
because I got a bigger one, but
you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
But just, go for it.
We'll go with this one first. You'll comment on the other side, and then we'll get to the other.
Perfect.
Here's what John Wildhack said about the 11 transfers out of the women's basketball program, including, obviously, comments on Coach Q.
The portal, it's not unique to us. 11's a big number, I get it, but there are other programs that had 8, 9 in there, on the women's side and the men's side, so it's not unique to Syracuse. It's a sign of the times, sign of reality. One of the things that about the portal in general, which concerns me, Chris, is there are kids who have put their name in the portal. They may not have a landing spot. Think about that. They may not have a place to go back to. They may not have a place to play. All right. Not only do they not get to play, what happens to their college education? What happens to that scholarship? And that really, really concerns me. In terms of women's basketball in particular, we had a number, I think it was 5, who had graduated. And either received their undergrad or their graduate degrees. They had 1 year left. You know what? They've done what they came to Syracuse to do. They got their degrees. They played at a high level. They got 1 year left. If they want to go someplace to play, they have the right to do that. And, they will always be part of our program. You had others, you had some 4 freshmen who transferred out. I think part of that is we're not going to, from a culture perspective and what we ask of every student athlete, we're not going to deviate from that, whether it's in times of, we get out of COVID or when we're in COVID. And we've had an influx of transfers coming in. We've got, 5, high school freshmen who are coming in, who are on campus now. So it's reflective of the time a little bit, and you're going to see more roster turnover. And I think it's really going to be a challenge for every coach in terms of roster management, right? And I just I worry most for kids who are in the portal in football, men's basketball, and women's basketball who don't have a landing spot. What happens to them?
We shared that yesterday. We were thinking on the men's side of John Bolajac. Put his name in, came back. Others have obviously left. We know who they are. As John Wildhack in the press conference yesterday, airing those comments here on ESPN Radio and the Sports Illustrated Show. Now, Spencer, of course, he went on to heap some praise on Coach Q. He believes in what he's doing. Take it from there. And then you said you have a bigger one.
Yeah. I just think, look, he addressed the fact that other teams had 8 or 9 players. Like, it, just because other teams have that, like, 11 is a high number of people to leave your program.
It's concerning.
That is concerning. And then in addition to that, I understand what he's saying in terms of the ones who graduate. They have that one more year of eligibility, so they want to, you know, take advantage of that. But why wouldn't they want to stay at Syracuse?
Well, Marek is another one who could have come back for a year even though he graduated and said no.
Why do they choose to do it to do it at another ACC school?
That's
what's interesting. Why do they leave the program? If things are so great in the Syracuse program, why would you choose to take that extra year and go to a totally different situation in university and have 1 year where most of the time you have to get adjusted to the program, but you don't have time because it's your sole year there.
Yeah, you still had 6 other players then, 2 of them, Engstler, Cardoso, who left, and it makes you go, okay, one or two instances, okay, maybe it's a personality, it's oil and water, I believe was the analogy used. Yep. But then what about the other 4? Right. Then what happened there? What happened with those 5 that did graduate, that just chose not to play here? Yeah. It's very concerning. Obviously, he's going to only talk up to a certain point and answer that to a certain point. And there's a line he's not going to cross. There are certain things that they stay in the locker room. You're not going to hear everything unless you're a fly on the wall. That's not the situation there. But what's the bigger takeaway that you had from the Wildhack press conference that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I think it almost kind of went surprisingly under the radar throughout it. It's just his addressing, you know, Jim Boeheim and, you know, obviously with Coach K and Roy Williams stepping away from the game, you know, addressing Coach Boeheim's time will come at some point. And, you know, it was just really interesting to see him publicly address that and have names, at least kind of name drop. Some people, which I think we're gonna hear in a second.
We can hear it right now.
I've always spent some time, you know, in terms of succession planning for all of our sports. You identify a list of candidates, right? You know, every AD does that. You know, internal candidates, external candidates. And at the right time, you know, we'll address that. We're very fortunate in our 3 assistants, Coach Autry and Coach McNamara. Both of those, they will both be head coaches someday. I firmly believe, and they'll both be successful. Coach Griffin, you know, Allen's done a really good job since he's been here. Doesn't have quite the experience that Jerry or Adrian does, but we've got a great staff, and either Jerry or Adrian, they're certainly capable of being a head coach, I think, anywhere in the country. But we're also, as we did for men's lacrosse, we hired Gary, not because he's an alum, because we thought he was the best person to be the leader of our men's lacrosse program. We'll apply the same criteria to our men's basketball program.
It will definitely not be Alan Griffin.
No.
First of all, you scratch him off the list. Will it be Jerry McNamara? Will it be G-Mac? Could it be Coach Red Autry? Or do you go outside? Because everybody's always going to bring Coach Hop back into the conversation. Or do you go outside of the family? Does it have to be somebody that has some formative affiliation at some point with Syracuse or not? That's the million-dollar question. I feel like you almost have to stay in family, and then perhaps if that then doesn't work out, then you look outside of the Orange family.
Yeah, and I think what we've seen traditionally here from Syracuse is that's what they tend to do. You know, I mean, like Wildhack even mentioned, bringing Gary Gate over to the men's side.
No brainer.
You know, it seems like that's what they do. They want to keep it in-house. They want to keep it in the family. So I would expect them to do that again. I don't think you come off a guy like Jim Boeheim, who is a Syracuse lifer, who was an alum that got the job and then coached for half a century. you're going to want, you're going to, it's going to be a repeat of that. You're not going to just bring some guy in that doesn't have any connection to Syracuse. Now, what I thought was interesting about Wild Hex.
Well, that's the drawback. Go outside the family. They're not going to bleed orange the way
exactly
that these other guys will, like Red will, like, or exactly, like Coach Autry will, like Coach McNamara will, et cetera. Continue.
Yeah, no, I just think that my takeaway from him addressing that was, you know, he started out with the typical, that's something that we'll definitely have to address in the future. Which is kind of your typical statement, but he could have shut it down from there. Just be like, "Oh yeah, no, we're like we're just staying the course. We'll have to address that in the future." He went that step further. He mentioned some names. He mentioned Jerry. He mentioned Red. Like that's a big deal. I think I don't think people picked up on it as much. Where he's tipping the hand a little bit at, you know, these are guys that I think are capable of being a head coach. Okay, so is there actually thought right now? Active thought about, you know, it's time to think about the end of the Jim Boeheim era.
But do you feel like because fans and possibly media feel like that's such a long ways away of Boeheim leaving that no one's like, he's given some names right now, so it's not really that big of a deal.
I think that's exactly why the reaction wasn't bigger. But I think people need to realize that it's a little bit bigger deal than they think.
Hey, here's a topic. Talk amongst yourselves. You're probably going to be having the conversation for a few more years at minimum. But by all means, feel free to have it. And eventually, we're going to know the answer. Sooner rather than later? I don't think so.
No.
I still think he's got another 3, 4, 5 years left in him. Minimum, I'd say. Yeah. I think you take the over there, it's a little closer to about 5 more years.
Yeah.
Before you really get to the end of the Jim Boeheim era. That's just me. Things could take that off course. But as it stands right now, I'll stick with that. I say 5 more years of Jim, and then maybe stick a fork in him. But he's still going to be affiliated with the program somehow, some way. He's always going to have some input for the rest of his life.
He is Syracuse basketball.
Period.
So you can't have him not be.
Full stop. Quick break. Sports Illustrated, ESPN Radio. You're Killing Me, Smalls is next. We're going back 27 years for this one.
The Sportszilla Show.
Oh, yeah?
Bringing the Central New York sports fan together.
You're supposed to wear your mask all over your nose.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
Can everyone hear me okay? Everyone listen up?
You're Killing Me, Smalls. It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk and ESPN Radio.
Oh, for Pete's sake, here we go again.
I guess it's fair to say it was killing us, Smalls, how many players left Syracuse women's basketball team. CBW in the Twitch chat just let me know he DM'd me an article from Mike Curtis where we were talking about some of the other schools that had a lot of players enter the transfer portal. Mike Curtis wrote that, Syracuse.com, and he's going to be on with us tomorrow to discuss that and a few other things. But I'll give them to you. Arkansas State had 8, Clemson had 8, North Carolina Central had 8, Tennessee State had 8, UMBC had 8, Eastern Washington had 9, Penn State had 9, Northwestern State had 10, Texas Tech had 10, Detroit Mercy had 12, tying Syracuse with the most in the country. I mean, Camila Cardoso, Emily Engstler, Kiara Lewis. I mean, the list goes, I mean, it's a team.
Yeah, but
a team left.
But like, just because it happens to other teams doesn't mean that it's not concerning.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I said to Glue Guy yesterday, you're sitting there and you're disciplining your kids and they're telling you about something that their friends did. And
right,
you're like,
exactly.
I don't care what your friends did. My concern is what you, my child, did. That's the thing. We're worried about our program, about Syracuse. That's what we're invested in. That's our child in this, if you want the wacky metaphor. But that was killing us, Smalls. But that's not officially what's killing you, Smalls. Spencer, something's killing you, but it's 27 years old. And I want you to tell everybody what it is. This is a lighthearted eye roll or sports festivus or airing of the sports grievances today.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the you're killing me, Smalls, kind of takes on a new meaning here. Today is the 27th anniversary of the infamous car chase, white Bronco car chase with O.J. Simpson and the police. Look, what a wild day that was. But what really bothers me is, like, this was when New York sports was front and center in the spotlight. The Rangers had their Stanley Cup parade that day. The Knicks were in Game 5 of the NBA Finals against the Houston Rockets. And they had to cut away from that in the middle of the NBA Finals. So it's like, OJ, why are you stealing their thunder? I mean, like, let us have our moment. New York fans have not been able to celebrate too much outside of the Yankees, It took away from what should have been a very special day for New York sports.
It took away a night going out to the bar for me. I was at a friend's house when it happened. We never ended up leaving the couch ever. There was like five or six of us. We all just sat there and watched this thing.
Yeah.
We're like, the Knicks? Who cares? Stanley Cup parade? Who cares? This is great.
Can you imagine if
it was like
Twitter
watching
was
a movie.
Thing?
It was like watching a movie. Yeah, imagine if Twitter was a thing.
If Twitter was a thing, it would have absolutely shattered the internet. That
Hashtag
day.
Broke the internet, right?
Yeah, it would have shattered the internet.
Didn't it make, I mean, it's always been the white van is creepy, but didn't it make like the white Bronco creepy too?
It essentially had Ford discontinue the Bronco for about 25 years.
And even though they're coming back, they're re-releasing the Bronco, but they've redone the design a little bit because you don't want the white Bronco to look like the old white Bronco because it still has that connotation for people.
Is OJ going to be the first one in line to buy one?
Is he endorsing it? I mean, you're not going to sign him up to endorse the Bronco. I mean, it's just crazy. 27 years ago, but it's one of those moments where there's just certain things that happen and you know exactly what you're doing. I know exactly where I was and what I was doing when that happened. Do you?
No, I was three.
Oh, man. What about you?
27 years ago, I was like one.
And I was getting ready to go out to a bar. What does that tell you? So,
yeah, no, but
you know what's killing me, Smalls? The fact that I got this old and you guys didn't.
But I've watched, you know, I've watched the ESPN documentary on it, which was the 30 for 30.
Fantastic.
Was unbelievable because there was no narration. It was all just the natural sound from that day, from the news reports.
LAPD helicopters.
LAPD helicopters. It was insanely done. But what a crazy day. And it just, you know, look, O.J. Simpson played for the Buffalo Bills. He was an Empire State sports guy. You know, he just took away totally from the New York sports scene that day. And we haven't had a day like that since in terms of New York sports being able to celebrate that much. So,
well, you have people in the Twitch chat at Q Sports Talk debating the best ESPN commercials right now, including the Big Poppy one where he had the Yankees hat on. Jorge Posada was in that.
That was great.
And now you're going to see some people that are going to go back to that moment in time, maybe tell us where they were, what they were doing during the white Bronco, Al Cowlings, O.J. Simpson Bronco chase throughout pretty much all of Los Angeles County. That was amazing. We'll pause right there. Jim Jackson, original voice of the Utica Devils, longtime voice of the Flyers, and for about the past 12 or 13 years, the Phillies, will join us next on ESPN Radio.
It's the Sportszilla Show on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Here's Rain and Matt.
Let's get started here on hour number two of the Sportszilla Show with ESPN Radio. We just went and kind of waxed nostalgic a little bit. Went back about 27 years ago to the infamous O.J. Simpson Bronco chase. It's kind of crazy how the time flies. Go back a little bit further right now and bring you right up to the present day, really, with Jim Jackson, who was... And it's crazy how these things come full circle, but the new affiliate for the Utica Comets in the American Hockey League that will still keep that rivalry together with the Syracuse Crunch is once again the New Jersey Devils. They're even repainting the Adirondack Bank Center. Jim knew it as the Utica Memorial Auditorium. Wow. Jim Jackson, let's take a walk down memory lane, and then we'll get to the work that you've been doing for the past 25, 26 years with the Philadelphia Flyers, and of course, in baseball with the Phillies, and we'll touch on a few other things, but just some instant memories that start flooding back to you as we throw that all out there.
Oh, well, I mentioned the Utica Devils. I guess the first thing I think of when I think of the Utica Devils is Tommy McVee. He was the first coach, and he coached them for 3.5 years about, I think, and then got moved up to coach New Jersey. And then, of course, Herb Brooks followed him and then Robbie Fatorik. So it was quite an interesting line of coaches for the Devils. And the other memory, just all the great times. You know, I did 6 years, every single game the Utica Devils ever played. And in those 6 years, I probably have more stories than I have in 28 up in the NHL. The minors bring about a lot of stories. And I did 1 year before that of the Mohawk Valley Comets of what was then the ACHL. So I probably have more stories from that 1 year than I have from the rest of my career combined, because that league was a league that became a 4-team league, and our bus was breaking down all the time. We had all kinds of stories of that. But, but yeah, it's just great times. I mean, I do tell people, you know, I do broadcast coaching now, and I talk to all my students, and I tell them to make sure to smell the roses on your way to where your destination is. You don't know, of course, where that destination is going to be. And as a result of that, we all get kind of fixated on it. And you don't necessarily smell the roses and taste the coffee on the way up. And I don't think I did enough of that, as I recollect of all the great times. But as I was doing it, it was all about, where am I going to be? Where am I going to be? And then you think back once you get to where you finally get to, and you realize how much fun those times were and some of the great friends that you made.
Yeah, well, you're never going to get them back. And it's pretty cool to, you know, all the years spent with the Flyers, and the greatest hockey movie ever is Slapshot, and large portions of that movie are filmed right there where you started your career and cut your teeth as a broadcaster. It's kind of amazing how it comes full circle. But today is National Mascot Day, as we talked to Jim Jackson here on ESPN Radio. And you worked for a couple of teams that have arguably a couple of the best in sports. And there's a few other names we could throw in besides Gritty, who is, well, fast become just a national favorite, not just in Philadelphia. And then the Philly Fanatic. You're like the luckiest guy ever to work for two teams with great mascots like that.
Yeah, I mean, the Fanatic's kind of the standard bearer after the San Diego Chicken. I think that Fanatic basically took over as the best mascot. And then Gritty is... I can only remember back to the day of his launch and what a disaster it was, and the fear that, oh my, what have they just done?
Yeah.
And how in a matter of maybe 48 to 72 hours, it went from disaster to brilliance. And, it went, once the Pittsburgh Penguins Twitter criticized it, everybody in Philly who had gone from embarrassed about it went to, they're not going to criticize it. And then it took off, and then the Flyers and Gritty, of course, himself or herself. I don't know. Is Gritty, it's hard to tell, male, if you know. But anyhow.
Yeah, we're not sure either.
We're not really sure.
Yeah. But then Gritty took over, and, I mean, they market the mascot so well. He hits a half-court shot at a college basketball game at a contest. I mean, some of the stuff that's happened with him is, can this really be true? But yeah, it's true. And it's just taken off like you couldn't believe. So yeah, blessed to have two great mascots around.
Yeah. And Gritty kind of transcends hockey. He's become a mascot for all sports. You're crediting essentially the Pittsburgh Penguins for making Gritty what he is, because people rallied around Gritty because of your rivals. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that correct?
Yeah, that really is. I mean, in Philadelphia, as it is in with a lot of really good sports towns, you know, the areas where they really care about their sports, they can criticize their own. There's a lot of criticizing the Sixers going on in this town today, but they can criticize their own. But when other people start criticizing them, especially people from rival cities like New York or for the Flyers, certainly there's no bigger rival than the Penguins, then it's kind of turns around. No, you don't. It's kind of like, you know, brothers and sisters who they fight internally, but if somebody goes after them from the outside, then they stick up for them. And that really was, I thought, the turning point when the Penguins kind of mocked it, and then all of a sudden people started shooting back from Philadelphia, and before you know it, you had a Twitter war, and then it just took off from there. So, yeah, in some sense, the rivals did really give rise to the popularity of Gritty.
Yeah, we're talking with Jim Jackson, the voice of the Philadelphia Flyers and Philadelphia Phillies, formerly the voice of the Utica Devils. And Jim, you know, you have done so many years in the booth, you know, but obviously none quite like this for any of us. What was it like? What were some of the challenges of doing your job, you know, amid this pandemic? Because I imagine you couldn't really travel anywhere. You know, it's just not the same. So what were some of the challenges that you faced in being able to carry out your duties?
Well, you know, and I guess it's this way for everybody, at least I think it is. The last, 15 months has been kind of all molded into like 1 year, even though it was two sports seasons. And it's just been surreal. The first, of course, attempt to get back at it was the bubble for the playoffs for the 1920 season, which obviously was in the middle of summer, edging toward fall. And that was all off monitors from our booth at the Wells Fargo Center. and it was different. I mean, it had a different feel than a normal Stanley Cup playoff atmosphere, that's for sure. And then this year, back to a regular season where we actually got a taste of some kind of normalcy, and we were doing the home games eventually from our booth with some fans in the arena, but always the road games off monitors. So it was different. I was just happy to, you know, get back to calling games, even if it was off a monitor. At least hockey was being played, and we were able to call the games. And, you know, there was some sign that we were going to get back to a normal life, which I think we're making great strides toward now. And hopefully by the fall, we're talking about, you know, normal fans, travel, everything. We'll see. But it was different. The biggest challenge when you're doing games off a monitor is the numbers are harder to see on the far side of the ice. So you're guessing a lot. Secondly, you can't see the back ref many times. So calls are being made and all of a sudden play stops. And you have no idea why. and just the lack of depth perception, you lose a dimension. So sometimes pucks around the net, deflections, all kinds of things. You just don't see it. So in general, it's tougher. We did our best with the help of our great crew, which they did a tremendous job getting us, you know, the best monitors, getting us set up so that we could do it as best we could with it. But we understood that it wasn't what it normally would be. And I never hid that fact. I mean, they see us in the studio. They know we're not there with the team. So there would be occasionally when the puck, you know, a camera would lose track of the puck and, you know, we catch back up and I go, oh, we'll get back to the puck eventually. I'd make a little light of it in front of it. I didn't ever hide the fact that we were doing the game off the monitors because I think everybody understood we had to go to different lengths here during this pandemic to bring you the games. And as I said, hopefully by fall, everybody's at least close to everybody's vaccinated and we can have full houses and traveling again and have all that because it has been a long 15 months.
It sure has.
And from a broadcasting standpoint, what's the biggest difference and something that's similar from broadcasting in the 80s here in Utica to what you're doing now in Philadelphia?
Something similar. I mean, it's still, you're calling the game. I mean, I wish I had a spot in all the NHL rinks as close to the ice as I had at the old Odd.
Yeah.
We're a lot further away, but you know, it's still hockey. You're still calling hockey. Ultimately, eventually there are similarities. Obviously the NHL is a half step, if not a full step quicker than the AHL. The guys are a little bigger, a little faster, all of that. Goalies are just a little bit better. But those 6 years calling the Devils were great times. I mean, I was able to ride the bus with Martin Brodeur and Billy Guerin and guys who really went on to have some great, make their mark in this in this sport. And as I told you already, the coaches I had were all kind of mentors in different ways for me. Spending a year with Herb Brooks, I got to see that fine line between genius and craziness. I mean, the guy would do things that would just, you would say, what is he doing? And then, you know, maybe a month later, you could see what he was doing. And so that was great. And I just loved every minute of it. I tell people, you know, anytime my feet hit the ground in the morning, I have a game to do, whether it's baseball, you know, basketball, doesn't matter, all through the years, hockey, baseball, any of the sports, it's a good day. And so those are all good days. I toward the end, in the last couple of years of my time in Utica, I was actually selling radio when the game switched over to WTLB. And I was selling Rock 107. I doubt these stations even exist anymore, but I was selling radio in order to continue to do the games. And I mean, I just didn't like sales. I did it. I had to. But I remember my feet would hit the ground in the morning and I'd say, just get me to 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Just get me to the game. Yeah. That's why I'm here. So this
yes. And look at the schedule. And if there was like a 3-game trip where we're going to be away for 5 or 6 days, it's like, that's good. That's going to be all hockey, you know? So, but in general, my time there was stuff that I treasure. Obviously when I met my wife, got married there and we started our family down here, but it was a great time. Pretty much right out of Syracuse, and I'm one of the lucky ones. I basically was born in New York. I was born in Cortland, but my family moved to New York Mills, Utica, when I was not even a year old, and then spent my formative years there. Went to school, 45 minutes down the road to Syracuse. Went back to Utica, worked 7 years, and then boom, to Philadelphia. So I didn't have the circuitous route here. A lot of broadcasters have to go through 5-6 different cities before they get to where they want to be. I basically went home, about less than an hour away to school, back home, and then to my place. So I've been blessed.
And ultimately, I believe Mrs. Jackson is actually in the Central New York region today, and we'll leave with that. We don't want to divulge your full location. Pretty cool. What a small world it really is.
I'm not going to give the address or anything, but
no.
But she still has family in the area. Most of my family's gone now. They moved on either to a different area or passed on. But my wife has lots of family still in the Utica area, so she gets up there quite often. Since doing the Phillies, and this is my first year not doing the Phillies in 15 years,
yeah.
I basically haven't had any time in the summer to get up there. So now that I have time, maybe I'll get up there as well. My son's going to school at Nazareth in Rochester. So we definitely, upstate New York is still part of the Jackson family. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you have contact information. If you do happen to make a trip up to the U, you're more than welcome to stop in live in our studios. Hey, we're all fully vaccinated. So we'd love to see it.
I appreciate that. I'm vaccinated as well, so we're all safe.
Well, I got 60 seconds left. Jim Jackson, original voice of the Utica Devils, and of course, if you're a Phillies fan or a Flyers fan, you know him well in that area. But I was doing a little digging and some research, and somebody at some point along your journey has asked you some of your favorite memories from broadcasting. You had brought up the 2-1 win over Pittsburgh in 2000, a 5-overtime thriller, longest game in modern NHL history. You had brought up Jimmy Rollins breaking Mike Schmidt's franchise record for the Phillies. And then there was the 2008 World Series parade for the Phillies, where you just talked about being in awe and how many people there were. Those three still ring out? One of those in particular, or with the last, I guess I'll leave you 45 seconds or so. What memory sticks out to you from your career?
Yeah, I mean, as far as calling a game, it would be the 5-overtime game or the shootout to beat the Rangers in 2010 to get into the playoffs, and then they went on and erased the 3-0 deficit against Boston. So from a calling standpoint, any of those three. To be honest with you, my most special moment was sitting next to Harry Callis when he called the last out of the 2008 World Series.
Yeah.
He's an icon. He didn't get a chance to call it the first time they won in 80 because of the exclusivity for the national network. So, tear in his eye, got to hug him right after he made the call. And then, a couple of days later to ride on a float with him in the parade. It was just an unbelievable time that feels like yesterday, and it's already 13 years ago. Hard to believe.
Jim, cannot thank you enough for giving up a little bit of time today and talking to us. We'd love to do it again. And like I said, invitation's always open. That door's wide open if you're ever back in the U and you want to join us on the Sports Illustrated Show. Thanks again.
I appreciate that, guys. Take care.
Jason Fitz coming up next. He's got to make good from Tuesday, and that is next on ESPN Radio. Hang tight.
The Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt. Here's our take with Las Vegas Raiders fanboy, Fitzy, Jason Fitz.
So here's a crazy thing. You know that he's a Raiders fanboy because he's from Vegas before traveling around the world as a rock star. And now he's settled into working for the worldwide leader in sports. But Jason, your quarterback said he'd retire if he wasn't a Raider. That's got to make you happy. I know if you look at Derek Carr and his brother and their win-loss record in the NFL, it's slightly disappointing. But it's nice to see that he's invested in the team. I mean, you just talked about being invested in ESPN off the air to us. Well, it's a similar thing there. And when you think about your favorite football team, that's the passion that you want. You want somebody that wants to be there. So it's got to feel good, right?
Yeah, and the funny thing is I think a lot of us take for granted what it's like to have a quarterback that's easy to root for, and for years as a Raiders fan, one of the calling cards for the Raiders was that they would take everybody's anybody and they'd give them the second chance there. And so it sort of became a team of vagabonds, which was very cool when they were winning a lot of games. When they're losing a lot of games, man, you at least want guys that are easy to root for. And for a period there, the Raiders were not only bad, but they weren't a fun team. The conversation around them was not about the good guys that played for the team. They've done a really nice job, I think, as an organization of being sure that they're bringing the right people into the city of Las Vegas. And Derek Carr's ability to handle this, I mean, he's somebody that openly admitted in an interview a few years ago that he considered his rookie season walking away and just going into ministry. So for somebody to come in and say, hey, I don't know if I'd even play anywhere else, I think it's real for him. I think that's the way he sees everything. And that's part of the reason that I don't think the Raiders ever seriously have looked at another quarterback. They've done their due diligence. I mean, who wouldn't? But, you know, you got to look at the success and failure of that team and realize that very little of it falls specifically on him.
I would say you're absolutely right.
I wanted to get your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers wearing the I'm Offended shirt to the Match Zoom press conference during the week.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are both dug in. And what I think is the most surprising is not Aaron Rodgers publicly being dug in. And we're used to athletes stepping out. But when Mark Murphy, the CEO, president of the team, comes out and says, you know, like he's a strange dude, basically.
Complicated.
Like when you hear that, yeah, complicated, thanks. When you hear that, that tells me that the Packers are every bit as dug in on being public with it, which is why, guys, I honestly don't think there's any chance he plays somewhere else. I think the Packers are telling him very publicly, you can talk all you want. You're going to play for the Packers or you're not going to play anywhere. And if you don't play anywhere, he's got to write a $32 million check to the organization as a get back for bonus money. So does he hate them so much that he'll write a $32 million check to walk away? I'm not sure.
We're talking to Jason Fitz of ESPN here on the Sportszilla Show, ESPN Utica Rome and ESPN Syracuse. Jason, we just talked about a couple of quarterbacks. Well, a couple of quarterbacks are on the cover of Madden NFL 2022 here. Just wanted to get your thoughts. Brady, Mahomes, do you like that on the cover? How much stock do you put on the cover athletes? Just wanted to get your thoughts there.
You know, the thing, I'm a massive Madden fan. I'm a big Madden player, have been for years. I joke. But I'm not sure it's 100% a joke. I think when your football team is bad for a lot of years, you become a football video game fanatic because sometimes it's the only way you can get the satisfaction of watching your team win a Super Bowl, right? So I am a Madden fan. But for me, the cover athlete thing was interesting because, you know, I like what they're doing in some ways, but I also think that, you know, in some ways this isn't complicated. Like, Brady just won a Super Bowl and, you know, really cemented whatever question marks anybody might have about his legacy. It feels like Mahomes has got plenty of years to grace the cover. I was surprised when I saw the ad that had the two goats in it. I thought they were going to do like a Brady and Gronk thing maybe and like try and bring some of that spice to the game. I'm a little surprised to see them go with two different generations. But, you know, it also reminds us of how healthy the sport is right now. I mean, you've got two quarterbacks that are going to be in the GOAT conversation if things continue with Mahomes. And how many people can say right now that you've got your LeBron and your next LeBron both playing at the highest level?
Fitzy, it's funny you say that because I was saying the same exact thing when they came out with the trailer on Tuesday, and especially when Peyton Hillis said they did it again. And I was thinking, okay, so it's got to be Brady and Gronk because they've been on the cover and they've also just won a Super Bowl together again. So I assumed it was those two guys. Rain, take it from there.
I was laughing because we were giving them crap. We were like, no, it's not. No, yeah. It's not. Well, you weren't the only one. One half of Spain and Fitz, Jason Fitz, with us here on ESPN Radio. 27 years ago, O.J. Simpson, the Bronco chase with Al Cowlings. Hard to believe it's been that long. Then again, it seems like it was just yesterday. I was talking about it earlier, Jason, and I literally remember being at a friend's house and there was a handful of us getting ready to go out to a bar, and yet we never left the couch because we just kept watching this. Because, I mean, in real time, this was like watching a movie. Do you remember where you are when it happened, and what are your recollections from the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase?
Yeah, I think one of the things that, of course, yeah, I remember the group that I was with at the time and sort of the stunned amazement through all of it. And then the way the entire trial process really captivated America. And it did that in a time that people need to remember was pre-social media and in many ways pre-internet. I mean, when you talk about that many years ago, the internet was not widely available. It's not like you could just go out and search to see what was going on. So for something to become a global sensation the way that trial did, I mean, I think there's a captivating moment to it that really took everybody. Everybody was invested in it because everybody felt like at some level they knew O.J. Simpson, whether it was O.J. the athlete or O.J. the actor or O.J. the commercial guy. Like, you felt like you had a vested interest in the human being. So to see that massive fall from grace so publicly was, I think, stunning for everybody, captivating for everybody. And I'm not sure it's ever going to go away, because if you're my age, you've had the argument on whether or not he did it a million times with different people. And the one thing that I think will always sort of amaze me is that, right or wrong, no matter what people think of the verdict or what he did, a jury of his peers found him innocent, and it never changed. Like, it didn't matter. He was guilty in the court of public opinion through that process. And it's stunning to look back on it and realize today that he was found guilty in a criminal law, in the criminal court, he was found innocent, I should say, in the criminal court. And we just forget that detail. And all of that started on this day. And so it's just a crazy process to remember.
And we also wanted to get your thoughts on the MLB sticky stuff situation going on right now. And the players like Glasnow and Trevor Bauer openly speaking out against it, primarily because they're changing the rules in the middle of the season and not letting them get a chance to go and think about it during spring training.
And how bad MLB bungles this like everything else.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, I will say, and you're right, like, I think Major League Baseball could have handled this much better. And what Major League Baseball could have done that would have been very simple is come out and said, hey, we realize there's a lot of things going on. We're going to take some time. We're going to efficiently study it and realize what needs to happen so that we have a clear-cut plan on what to do. And in the offseason, we'll implement it. Like, that only makes sense. So why do anything that makes sense? The other side of it, though, is, you know, I know this is nitpicking, but the rules about doctoring a baseball have existed for a century, yep. Right? So really, it's not as much that they've changed the rule. It's that they're no longer letting people get around the rule. And one thing that's a little, I use this analogy a lot with this, but there's an area in Nashville where the speed limit unexpectedly drops from 55 to 35. And it drops for like three blocks. And years ago, I got a ticket going three over, and the cop pulled me over and said, you know why I pulled you over? And I was like, I was only going three over. And he said, three over the speed limit means you were going three over. So I went to court because I was like, I'm going to fight this ticket. And the judge said, innocent or guilty, how do you plead? And I said, well, innocent. I was only going three over. And he's like, if you were breaking the law, you were breaking the law. That means you were guilty. And he gave me the ticket. Is it absurd that I got a ticket for going 3 miles over the speed limit? Yes. But did they do something that they're not allowed to do? No, because the law exists for a reason right there, whatever it may be. So I feel like that's what we're seeing. Like, it's a speed trap moment where they're catching a lot of people and a lot of people are really mad about it. But ultimately, the rules are the rules. Everybody's got to adjust quickly. Baseball could have handled it better, but I also don't have a ton of sympathy for the way pitchers right now are complaining.
Yeah, ignorance of the law is not an excuse, whether you like it or not. It's not the enforcement of it's not an enforcement of this longstanding rule. It's the timing of it, because you're doing it in the middle of a season, I think really is the point of contention. But we'll move on. Listen, we got 30 seconds left with you. Jason Fitz is with us here on ESPN Radio. How epic was the 76ers choke last night?
No, and I've never felt more stupid, because on air with Sarah last night, it was 62-36, and I said, stick a fork in it, it's done. And she said, nothing's ever safe with Philly. And I said, yeah, but this is against Atlanta, and we know the city of Atlanta's history. And Sarah laughed and said, I'm not willing to say that yet. So you bet I got a text right as that game ended from our producer and Sarah reminding me that I'm a moron and she's brilliant. And you know what? She was right about all of it. Great, great, great comeback by a young Hawks team that I think is just too young to be overwhelmed by anything, and they don't see any wall that they can't climb. It's really inspiring to watch.
The next time you two get together, there is your opening segment of Spade and Fitz. When is Jason right and when is Jason wrong? And Sarah's going to tell you specifically when you're wrong. Last thing, Lou.
At ESPN, on the ESPN app, at halftime, Philadelphia had a 98.2% chance of winning the game.
Oh, boy, yeah. I feel bad for you, Jason. I'm sorry it worked out that way. Thanks for...
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking the time and the make good. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, 3:15, as always. Appreciate you, man. This is ESPN Radio.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
And the Sportszilla Show. We're going to come right back with Soundcheck.
It's the Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt on ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Listen to this. Mic check. Okay? Good. Here's your sports sound check.
Want to give a shout out to Kevin from the Twitch chat, Q Sports Talk, of course. That took the Dave Petramella press conference, as he is now the defensive coordinator for Syracuse men's lacrosse. You able to find any information, any of his quotes? We obviously weren't able to watch that because we remained on the radio talking to Jim Jackson and Jason Fitz. By the way, if you missed any of that, if you stayed on Twitch, James Mitsubishi Sports Illustrated podcast, wherever you get yours, will be made available shortly after we get off the air at 4 o'clock. And Dave Petramella will be on the block with Axe today. We are corresponding with Tommy Hogan, brother, behind the scenes to make sure we can lock in a time on that. Do we have it yet?
No, he says he's not sure yet.
We'll get that time. We'll try to give you a little preview of that in the next 20 minutes or so, and I'm sure Axe will get right to it at 4 and let you know what the deal is. You get any comments on that?
Not a whole lot of info on this out on the Twitter sphere.
Well, listen, Orange Nation is going to have more on that tomorrow. Axe is going to have some of that. We'll be covering that again tomorrow. We'll get you some of the quotes and some of the audio, that's for sure.
I'll also likely have something on WKTV tonight if you want to tune in if you're in the Utica area.
Yeah, and of course, all of our your sportscaster friends in the Cuse area will have it too.
Yep.
Cheap pop.
Cheap very pop. Good.
Spencer. Spencer's picking up this radio thing and shameless plugs, man.
That's right.
I like it very much. Listen, we got sound check now, so I've got a few pieces of audio, that I want to play, and then let's get some reaction in this studio. You're a hockey guy, Spencer. We know how much you love it. And a former state champion. We're going to keep blowing up your spot on that.
I got the ring.
And still a beer league. You're like a beer league superstar still, right?
Yeah, I led the league in points for the first half of last season before we had two brief seasons last year. I led the league in scoring in the first season.
How many did you put in the back of the net, though?
You know what? I'm going to have to get back to you, and let me find that.
Do you score? Are you like a garbage goal scorer from the front of the net, or are you a sniper, or are you a dangler?
It depends. I am more of a dangler at the moment. I've always been good on breakaways, deking the goalie and stuff. I would say it depends. Sometimes I was in a role where I was more of a garbage goal guy, but I'm capable of being a little fancy as well.
Very good. You gave us enough stall time to get that locked in at 4:20. I'm talking about Dave Petromella, new defensive coordinator for Syracuse men's lacrosse, on the block with Brent Axe. Do not miss it. I'm sure they'll touch on many things discussed in the press conference that preempted us off of Twitch, but we're back on there. Q Sports Talk. Let's get to this audio. You are a hockey guy. That was the whole setup. Barry Melrose with still his hockey flow with lettuce, that mullet, those suits, and ESPN back with TNT and ESPN. It's a great thing, so you're getting more coverage. And, hey, the Canadians took the momentum from Vegas last night, and the Golden Knights, local vested interest in Baldwinsville's very own Alex Tuck. Oh, the audio's not playing. Hang on.
Well, the first one's the most important because they took the crowd out of the game. The crowd was there to win another game and on the way to the Stanley Cup with two more wins on the road. So they thought it was going to be a sweep in this series. They played great after that. They checked. They blocked shots. 58% of the shots of the Montreal Canadiens didn't get through. Great job on draws. Just a fantastic job that way also. But again, they took the crowd out of there. It was calm after that, and it took them two periods to get it back. They got it back in the third period, and they had a great third period. But the first two periods, Montreal's checking game in the defensive and Carey Price really shut the Vegas down.
I don't think that he was on the sauce. I agree with you.
He was not. He actually sounded sober there.
There are times we have played audio from Barry Melrose where we think that they call him on the golf course, and he's had a couple of pops. He's got a few in him. I don't think so in that instance. I didn't think this was going to be a series, but yet it is.
Yeah, I didn't think that at all. By the way, I just want to quickly, another little shameless plug. So 15 goals, 5 assists, and 8 games played for the first half of the season. That's 20 points. That being said, there was a game where I had 6 points in it, and we had to forfeit the game because our goalie was too young to be counted as a goalie in the league, so I was shorted 6 points.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, no, but
the Stanley Cup semifinals and Montreal Canadiens. Let's talk about Spencer.
Cheese pop.
Yeah, but no, but in all seriousness, especially after game one, I really thought that that this was.
No, I wasn't kidding. I'd rather talk about
want to talk about.
No. Continue. Okay.
In all seriousness, after game one, I really thought the Golden Knights were going to just have total control of this. I thought that, maybe the Canadians would be able to win one in Montreal and it would be a 5-game series. Now it's a totally different story. It's a huge deal that the Canadians took care of business, and it wasn't like a fluky win either. I mean, you heard Melrose say it right there. I mean, the Canadians played a very good defensive game against the Vegas Golden Knights. They were able to capitalize on some chances. And a big thing for the Montreal Canadiens is coming out and taking an early lead. They're not a team that's good at chasing from behind. They need to be able to get out ahead, and then they can manage keeping a lead.
Yeah, they don't have the offense to that. Lightning, of course, tied 1-1 with the Islanders in the other semifinal. And that's 8 o'clock tonight. A lot of former Crunch players going to be in that game. That's all I have to say. This is called Soundcheck. It's the Sportszilla Show, ESPN Radio. Going to bring in Booger McFarland. I'm glad he's not part of the Monday Night Football broadcast anymore, but occasionally he does make a valid point. And we've got to talk about the Jags. And I'm sorry to do it to you, but Tebow.
Eye roll.
I was waiting. You had to verbalize the eye roll that you just gave. Can you give one to the Twitch cameras too? He totally did that. Boga McFarland said Lawrence is starting. Trevor Lawrence is starting. Do not bring up Tim Tebow at quarterback for Jacksonville. And I agree. That is ridiculous. Here's the audio of Booger.
Urban Meyer came back because of one reason, because Trevor Lawrence was going to be his quarterback.
Exactly.
I don't care what they say. I don't care what anybody writes in an article. Trevor Lawrence is going to be the quarterback. Now, Tim Tebow, it's cool. He's got a buddy that's the head coach, and Tim is going to get an opportunity to fulfill a dream. That's cool. But let's not mention quarterback, Tebow, and Jaguars in the same sentence ever again.
Everybody's going to get mad at the fact you keep talking about Tebow. He's like the fifth string tight end down there, Glue.
But he's going to be throwing some passes, I have to imagine, in some kind of wildcat formation or something like that.
He shouldn't, but you want that to happen.
It's going to happen, and you know it's going to be the perfect pass.
And like the one he threw with Denver.
Yes.
The most immaculate pass he's ever thrown in his life. Spencer?
Yeah, I mean... I've actually always liked Tim Tebow, but I just think that, you know, he's just the guy. I mean, the guy lives a blessed life, man.
He gets
opportunities that so many people, you know, would try to work so hard for. And Grant, Tim Tebow works hard. He does everything to the fullest. But I mean, come on, to leave football, to go back to baseball, not make it in baseball, and then get signed as a tight end in football.
Nobody else is getting this opportunity. Nobody
else
other
is
than
getting
Tim
this
Tebow.
Opportunity. And I don't think it pans out very well for the Jaguars.
No.
I don't think Tebow becomes much of a factor, much like he was with the Jets. Now, granted, the Jets mismanage everybody, but I just think it's along the same lines. Tim Tebow is not going to end up being a premier player for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year.
But Tim Tebow is jacked, though.
Watch Sam.
He's putting in the work.
Watch Sam Darnold have a really good season with Carolina, much to the
He's
chagrin.
He's going to torch the Jets in week one.
Much to the chagrin of Spencer
horrible.
Davidson.
It's going to be horrible. And then I'm going to end up winning my argument against Phil Ivanko that, yeah, Sam Darnold probably shouldn't have been let go.
We'll come in here at 2 o'clock, right? The Twitch cameras will fire up Q Sports Talk, right? And Spencer won't be able to say anything on the radio. He'll just be like this, just be drooling.
You'll
be a shell of yourself.
Yeah.
And I'll be laughing at you.
Yeah. It'll probably take me, you know, a good couple of weeks to get over.
You really think they made the wrong decision? No, I'm not letting you go. We're going to talk about the Knicks. Soundcheck, ESPN, Radio Sports. We're saving that conversation for another day. Because I got Jay Will this morning. He was talking about Luka. And you said something earlier, Glue Guy, about Luka Doncic. And tell everybody what that was.
Yeah, he wasn't a fan of his general manager being let go after 23 years with the Mavericks. And he was the guy that drafted him. So, of course, it's sentimental to Doncic.
And there's a lot of rumors. And take a guess where, well, I mean, we've heard... Let's see, there's a guy in Portland. Who am I talking about? Could go to the Knicks. Would you want him to go to the Knicks?
Is it Dame time?
It might be Damian Lillard. There's other rumors about players potentially going to the Knicks, but what about...
After the choke job from the Sixers last night, is it Embiid or Simmons?
And what about Luka Doncic?
You have things going around about Luka. Is he really happy? Don Nelson brought him in. Love Donnie Nelson. What's happening to that relationship? Now, look, earlier in the year, I said New York could be a potential opportunity, and people killed me for it. For Luka. It's feasible. There are feasible scenarios where you start looking at where will Luka want to go and build
it's
if
too
it
early
doesn't
for you
work
to get
out
me
in
this
Dallas.
Excited. You can't get me this excited this early.
Well, New York isn't the only option. But I will say there's a lot of rumblings, and Mark Cuban needs to put water on that fire.
So here's Matt Page to poo-poo on Luka going to our Knicks, right?
Not going to happen.
Oh, you feel better now?
Yeah, I do, actually.
I don't know, man.
Thank you for that gem.
Did you see that picture of him way back in the day with Carmelo Anthony Knicks shirt on?
Wondering. I mean, how many guys have worn a Knicks jersey and they've never gone to play for them?
Yeah, but, you know.
How well does he work in New York with Tom Thibodeau?
I think he'll be fine.
Perfect.
I think he would be fine.
Totally.
He would be totally fine.
Totally a Tom Thibodeau guy.
And he's a guy that I totally think can handle the New York spotlight.
He's only like 22 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no problem with that. I'm totally on board with what Jay Will said. All the great players need to go to the New York Knicks. All of them.
Yeah.
Just all of them.
Yep.
Make it work. You've got.
I'll just let you guys go. I'm just going to leave.
You got cap space. You got draft picks. You could totally make this work. We'll explore this conversation another time. The Glue Guy is out. The last thing we'll say today is next on ESPN Radio.
The Sportszilla Show with Rain and Matt.
Can everyone hear me okay?
Hello? I can hear you.
Okay, well, so we've made some amazing adjustments.
Here's the last thing we'll say today on ESPN Radio.
ESPN.
And twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
I'm regretting playing audio about Tim Tebow and soundcheck because we haven't done anything but talk about Tim Tebow since, including in our Twitch chat at Q Sports Talk. Tim Tebow now in the French Open. Where else? In the cricket.
The English Premier Cricket League.
We had him there. He's going to be starting point guard for the Los Angeles Lakers next year. Somehow he's going to make that roster too. Don't doubt Tebow. I'm telling you, just don't. And don't doubt Dave Petromella. 420 on the block with Brent Axe. Our Twitch channel, Q Sports Talk, it's on demand. You can go watch it there. Everybody's covering it. You're going to hear quite a bit more about it. I'm sure they'll have audio chopped up to share with you after 4 o'clock. I know Tommy Hogan was working on that, and they're going to get it together. We'll have some more of that tomorrow. Orange Nation will have more of that tomorrow. Just a massive signing. Such an important move to add to Gary Gates' staff for the Syracuse men's lacrosse team. If hope hasn't sprung eternal within you, I don't know what more you need. Arguably two of the best guys in the country with those two jobs for Syracuse. It's going to be good.
It's like having, you know, Coach Mike Krzyzewski as the head coach and Coach Jim Boeheim as the assistant coach for Team USA basketball. It's like,
it feels like that happened.
Did that happen?
I think that happened. Huh. Yeah. And we're going into a goal. It's a new golden age for Syracuse men's lacrosse, Spencer.
Weird that that happened and I brought that up. It's almost like I'm kind of educated on that stuff.
Can I ask you one quick question? I know we have just like 30 seconds left.
Yeah.
If you're the New York Mets, mm-hmm. Jacob DeGrom gets pulled out after 3 innings, and this is kind of like the second time mm-hmm. he's left a starter.
It's concerning.
Are you concerned?
It's very concerning.
I would be very concerned.
Very concerned.
Especially because with the lack of run support, you don't get a lot of wins when he starts anyways, and he is clearly the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, and it's not even close.
Yeah, he's going to have like the lowest ERA of a starting pitcher all time and not get to 300 wins. It's wild.
We'll be back at 6 o'clock, that being Matt and myself for Yankees on Deck with the Axe Delay about 6:04. Brent Axe and On the Block up next on ESPN Radio.